Welcome to the final episode in the Altus Group Tyson's Breakfast Panel podcast series. In this episode, we learn more about Tyson's from panelist James Policaro, Senior Vice President of Development and Construction for Lerner Enterprises.
And last but certainly not least, Jim Policaro. Jim has been leading development at Lerner for more than 18 years, and I think it goes without saying that Jim and Lerner's masterminding of numerous projects throughout the D.C. area have literally changed the skyline and created much of the skyline that we see here in Tyson's and D.C. and abroad. So from ballparks to trophy office, Jim's been there.
Thank you. I'm going to touch on that right from the beginning, I think, Steve. there's a lot of great slides, great statistics. So I think what we'll do is possibly go from a macro level to a micro level and discuss a test case, which would be our development at Tyson's 2. And specifically, I'll touch on 1775 Tyson's Boulevard, the new office building. But to Steve's note, I don't know if this works, but our residential on that is the master plan of Tyson's 2, and our residential component is in the bottom right hand corner. To go back to what Mo said, and I think the foresight of the Lerner family was our value creation in Tyson's is about quality. It's all about quality, and it has been from the very inception with the Galleria Mall and the Ritz-Carlton. So, tremendous foresight with the family. And another bit of foresight was that we rezoned in 2003 for metro-related density, and the plan didn't get approved until, what, Fred, 2010?
Yeah.
So, again, tremendous foresight in that it allowed us to negotiate proffers, but also, more importantly, to get ready. And we didn't get everything we wanted either, Steve. So,
Glad to hear that.
So we have 6.8 million square feet in this master plan, and 3.1 million square feet are constructed. Primarily in the main core where the gallery and the Ritz are in the kind of center of the graphic there. To the right, the kind of greenish-looking building with the park in front of it is 1775 Tyson's Boulevard. And then the remainder of the buildings are yet to be developed. To the left, there's three buildings right near the metro. Those are placeholders, if you will. But that's a great opportunity for true dense, transit-oriented, mixed-use development, 11 acres and 1.9 million square feet. So we're starting to conceptualize on what that could become, because that really is the crown jewel of Tyson's 2, even though we're very proud of what we've done to date. The one building, which is Building K, ties directly into the metro station, so that's going to be a great opportunity at someday. So just to touch on the condominiums comment that you made, you hit the nail on the head. We looked at it, and again, the bottom right-hand corner, the two 31-story luxury residential towers that we have planned. And, we went back and forth, and we looked at it, and, we're not going to give up our height, right? So we're going to build to our height limit and 30, 31 levels. And, the minimum number of units that we could fit on that site were 225, with the size that you need to capture the price per square foot that it would take.
Yeah.
And we just could not, the risk was just too great. Yeah. And I agree with you 100% in that the range of more palatable 120 units to minimize your risk, hit the market quickly, And I think that's the play, and I think Sonny's on the right track to doing that. So to kind of the micro again on the left of the two towers that we're planning, they are residential. The issue there isn't necessarily tenancy. It's, as you mentioned, you build it, and if you can get the rents, you're doing great. If you can't, you lower the rent, so you can fill it. It's just a question of whether or not you can make any money at it. So we're in the process of designing that, hope to get started in 2018, but we do have a lot of work to do because the rental rates, as you mentioned, and Tyson's are they've kind of stabilized at the low $3, $325 per square foot, and you really need about $350 to $375 a square foot, maybe even $4 on some of the larger units. So we're still working on that. The test case is really 1775 Tyson Boulevard, which is the office building that just we recently completed in March of 2016, and our decision making on investing in Tyson's, if you will, we're portfolio investors, so you know, it's not a matter of should we, it's a matter of where we're going to do it within our master plan and when we're going to do it. And you know, the strategy of going spec, we finished the building where PricewaterhouseCoopers is and Founding Farmers, 1800 Tyson's Boulevard, in 2005. We were starting design of this building that long ago, 10 plus years before it got completed. You know, we had some challenges associated with that. But again, that's the thought process of somebody like the Lerner family, of when to go. So we, after the recession, we dusted off the plans and started really thinking about when are we going to go. And in Metro was the driver, no question about it. So we decided to go. The equity requirements are very high these days, and our loan to cost was about 65%, so it took a tremendous amount of equity. So in 2011, we decided that we were going to have to spend between pre-construction services and earthwork and foundation work, we were going to have to spend more than half of our required equity anyway. So we got started on the earthwork in 2011. Took about 9 months in 2012, and we stopped for 18 months. And we did that for two reasons. One was we were still a little bit unsure of the market, and two, Macerich was also developing, and they're well capitalized with their fund, and we're just a very small local family-owned business. And so we were a little hesitant to get going, but between the two of us, we had a million square feet of that high-quality trophy product on the market. So we actually waited a little bit, and we're rooting for Macerich at Tyson's One with Tyson's Tower to fill up, yep, candidly. And we were rooting for them. And because when they did lease the majority of the building, that meant that we were the only product left to capture any new tenants that wanted a trophy office building. So we restarted in 2014 and then finished in March of 2016. So some of the challenges that we had associated with this project were, A, with the design, because we did start the design in 2005, so we had to go through code changes, we had to go through finish changes, we had to go through curtain wall. Technology changed, and actually it probably worked out for us because, you know, we're very happy with the way the building looks and the way the curtain wall is performing. So that was a challenge and a blessing as well. The amenity program changed. You mentioned, Mo, that, you know, the amenities are not your father's amenities, where everything isn't in the basement any longer. It's up. It's open. It's inviting. So we made a decision on the third level, just above the bridge there, to put all the amenities on the third level, conference facility, fitness center, social room, outdoor terrace. And we did that, and we gave up about 11,000 square feet of rentable space to do it. And so it was a sacrifice, but I think it was a smart play because it's benefited us. And also, the space that we had in the lower level, we actually offer that as kind of storage space, if you will, or space that's not at a premium. So it's actually a benefit to tenants that want maybe their mailroom or storage, and they can get that space for 50% or 60% of the asking price of the rent. But that was a challenge because we made that change during construction. And the fitness center is right above the lobby, so we had issues with constructability and noise and all sorts of fun things to deal with during construction. The schedule was also a challenge for us in that CSC was our first tenant. EY is our main tenant. They took 125,000 square feet. CSC is in there. WeWork is in there. And Fogo de Chão opens on January 31st. So the building's about 75% leased, thanks to Mo and his colleagues. But the challenge with CSC, I remember last November, we were kicking around the idea, and they needed to get in quickly. They had to be in by the first quarter of 2016, and we said, do not let them go. We'll get them in somehow. And we did it, and the challenge really was the exterior, in that we were finishing all the exterior work in the wintertime. CSC really wanted to move in about 2 months before we were really planning on it. But speaking to the collaboration between the county and the private development with the task force and the comp plan, you know, they backed up their words, you know, with construction as well. And the county was a tremendous help. I saw William Marsh here. I think he left. But he was a tremendous help with the county. And it was a great success for everybody to get CSC in. Two other things. The tenant requirements also with the dense floor plates. People are going in and occupying maybe 50% more people than they used to. And so even in a somewhat modern building, you know, we had issues with the width of the stairwells for capacity. We had bathroom size toilet fixture issues where we had to expand the bathrooms. And we had outside air requirements because, again, you know, in many respects, it's a kind of mini version of assembly space, being that the floor plates are so dense. And so those are real challenges that we had to deal with both during and after construction in the TI phase of the work. And then the last issue I will touch on is the parking. And Mo's absolutely right. We're zoned for 2.6 spaces per 1,000. Which is code. That's what we built. You would have thought that would have been enough with Metro, but not. Tenants want 3.0 to 3.3 to 3.5. And, you know, when you're, you know, asking for rents in the mid-50s, you know, you want to give the tenant everything he's asking for. So we've had some very difficult negotiations. And fortunately, we do have, you know, the rest of the portfolio that we could share park. It's truly is a surprising issue, if you will, the amount of parking that the tenants today anyway want. So with that, I'll throw it back to Ross. Yep.
Thanks, Jim.
This has been an exclusive 5-part Altus Group podcast series on the exciting growth happening in the Tysons region. A big thank you to all of our star panelists and to our listeners. Stay tuned for additional insights on the Tysons market and the upcoming 5th annual Tysons Breakfast Panel, which will be taking place in early 2018.